Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We are looking at the search for the missing 19-year-old Buffalo State College student, Saniya Dennis. Peter Ahern joins us live now. He's with Ahern Consulting, also former Buffalo FBI special agent in charge. Peter, thanks for being with us to help kind of shed some perspective on what a search like this entails. Obviously, we hear some very few minor details about the investigation. When a missing person search goes as long as this has, what are investigators looking for or hoping for that might be different than the information they've had over the past couple of weeks?
Well, I think in these cases and everything I've seen about this, and of course, it did get some national attention. That's how I was made aware of the case about 7 days ago. But what you're looking at here, I think, critically at the beginning of this, are going to be certain areas that you have to focus on. One would be a timeline and putting a timeline together with everything that you have about the person's disappearance. You're also looking at relationships as well as mental state. And those are, you know, the three critical things to then help investigators track whatever leads they may develop from that. And I think from what I've seen, they have done everything they possibly can with hope of a positive outcome. And I guess it remains to be seen now with developments through the night.
You know, we're watching this on a daily basis here. Today is day 12 of her missing. And we're seeing the public side of the search. There are a growing number of volunteers. It's now numbering in the hundreds who are looking for her every day, especially up around Niagara Falls State Park. What's going on behind the scenes, though, do you think?
Well, I think behind the scenes, again, there are a lot of interviews that have been going on. And a lot of that would emanate from where she was at the last point, which was at the university, at the college. And I think investigators were focusing on, again, computers, anything technical they could get, looking at her profile online, looking at her computers, and also talking to her closest friends, as well as relatives at the time, to kind of gain a picture of what they were dealing with as they were conducting the searches, just to try to narrow down what they possibly can be looking for, if there's any foul play, or is this, again, something, you know, with pressures of everyday life that we all see these days could have led to a reason for her disappearance. So that's what they're trying to do. They're also going to look everywhere they possibly can at tracking that timeline for cameras. In this day and age, you know, it's very, very hard not to be on a camera somewhere when you're in an urban area. And I think, you know, based on some of the statements from the family urging businesses to provide as much video that they possibly can from their businesses is a positive thing. And I think with all the searchers and everything, the community really stepped up in this case to do the best they can and do the best what they're doing now.
Well, on one hand, you have this kind of new technology and all these cameras that can help investigators. Mm-hmm. On the other, I'm wondering if some of the more old school techniques aren't quite as useful anymore. Now, I'm thinking specifically in the kind of common sense technique of talking to people she may have known and, you know, coming in contact with who might have talked to her before. And in two ways, this might be tougher now. One, in college campuses all across the U.S., I mean, you're encouraged not to see anybody on a daily basis. You kind of go into your room and you're in, you know, your little quarantine, and you're not with groups of people and making those friends that you normally would have. And then even if it weren't during a pandemic, you know, with social media and maybe less face-to-face interaction, you could have fewer of those contacts who may have known who somebody was involved with, either romantically or in a friendship.
Well, that's true. But believe me, you know, the human factor of this investigation is critical. I mean, just because there's cameras does not stop investigators from doing that bread and butter type investigative techniques that they use, and that's the interview. And you have to remember, even though there weren't face-to-face, I think critically here would be the computer discussions. You know, even in this pandemic, you still had the Zooms, you still had the chatting, you still had the texting. All of those things are critical in having social contact these days, whether it's in person or not. Those things are explored by investigators. You know, that old school stuff is still key to all that goes on with an investigation. You know, it's just a camera and the videos give information to investigators, but they still have to go out, verify, and prove, for example, if there were some wrongdoing. And that technology these days, you know, under, you know, authorized requests for information are critical in the investigation. And I think you'll hear more as it goes on and see what happens with this investigation. And you'll see this was all done. I mean, the interviews are being done. Again, it's critical, and it doesn't stop just because of cameras, believe me.
If there was any significant video in this case, would it necessarily be shared with the public right now?
No, not necessarily. I mean, for a few reasons. You don't, you know, for example, you don't want to post a video or put something out there if there isn't a reason for the public to maybe see it and then say, we need some assistance with whatever they saw in that video. You also want to be careful. The family is paramount in this, and I think that's been clear here. You have to respect the family. You don't want to put something out or show something that could be false or a false positive and get the hopes up of the family when it was just nothing more than a video and put that out. So they have to be very careful with that. And on the other side of that, too, if that video has something in it that could be evidentiary, you definitely don't want to put that out in the public unless there's a good reason. And again, that would be asking for the public's help on, for example, somebody that may have been seen in the video or something like that. And I believe they would have put that out if there was something.
Multiple police agencies, multiple arms of government assisting. Does that help things a lot, or does it complicate things in any way?
No, I think it helps a lot. I mean, you know, you don't have in this day and age anybody muscle in and be the lead of something. Somebody has to coordinate things, and in this case, it was proper. This is a local issue, quite frankly. You know, and you saw with you know, the campus police working with the DA. You also saw the state police. What happens here, all these agencies will provide the best of what they have. Every agency can bring something to the table that another agency may not have, or maybe try to improve it. You know, technology-wise right now, and knowing what's up in that area, the Erie County Sheriff's Office and their technical teams are very, very adept at dealing with looking at the computers and looking for evidence, you know, in somebody's IP address and somebody's, you know, social profiles and social discussions online. They're very good at that. State police bring the help. And on the federal side, if there's something there that the locals would need, all they would have to do is ask, or even they would volunteer it and say, look, we could help you with this or help you with that. Anything that could help resolve this situation as best they possibly can.
The father of Saniya Dennis was critical of the Buffalo State Campus Police Department leading this investigation. Is it unusual for a university police department to be the lead agency on this? And then last night, as you just noted, the Erie County DA's office is now partnering with them.
Well, I wouldn't wrap my up around the fact that who's the lead agency in this. Somebody has to coordinate. And this is a you know, the campus police are sworn law enforcement officers. You know, they probably deal with this a lot, not from the standpoint of how long this went on, but issues on campus. The central focus of I think this, if she was on campus, that's where it begins, that's where it is. Just because they're the lead doesn't really take anything away from the fact that other agencies will step up and provide them any help that they need. in the investigation. You know, with the DA coming in there, they provide the legal piece. If they need subpoenas, if they have to, you know, pull records, or if they have to get the video from businesses, and businesses can be reluctant because of some legal issues, they can issue subpoenas and things of that nature. So I wouldn't get all wrapped up in this fact on who the lead agency. The key was you had so many other agencies stepping up with that police department and helping them.
Hey, we really appreciate all the expertise and insight into investigations like this. Peter, thank you so much. That's Peter Ahern of Ahern Consulting, former special agent in charge of the FBI's Buffalo office.